así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war. It's a war.
Gremlins. You have gremlins.
No, what's that thing called when you're like, I think Netrunner has it and all those other games. It's that, it's the one class you get when you're near technology and technology.
Oh,
stuff.
Oh, the magic and technology clash.
Yeah,
like,
what is
they had that in Arcanum. It's like arcane feedback. Or
yeah,
something.
It's some stupid. Like I'm that class.
It's
right
in,
now.
It's in the Dresden Files too. Like
yeah.
He can't use like radios and shit. They explode. That, yeah. That's you. Apparently, you are.
That
you
show
are
is terrible.
I like that show.
Ugh. The only thing I liked about it is it had Joanna Kelly on it for a couple episodes, and I like her.
I mean, that show was fine. I don't really see how your point.
Oh, it could terrible. Have been so much better.
See, I didn't read the source material.
Oh no, I'm not. I like the fact that it takes place in Chicago, and it's like obviously not Chicago.
Oh yeah,
it's like Vancouver.
But they do have some of those like stock footage clips of the L.
Yeah, exactly. It's like oh, it's the L. Yeah, I think that's like they use those same clips on like Perfect Strangers. And, like,
yeah,
exactly.
I think. I'm not sure, but anyway. So when I look at the when I see the Golden Demon entries on their site, whenever the fuck they upload them. So next year, Games Day, I will be able to look at your photos, compare them directly,
and you can
photos.
Look at my large model and go, and then you could look at the chaos spawn and go, oh, is that a large model again?
And maybe I'll take notes, bring in the next cast, and be like, this is why you were beaten.
This is why you were beaten at Golden Demon.
That'll be awesome.
I'm actually kind of, I was happy. I saw Dave Pakanowski today at the bunker, and he got third place with his...
Oh, he did win.
He did win. And I told him he won, and he was like, I didn't win, Joe. I seriously didn't win. I'm like, dude, this is the way it works. It's like they put the top three in the front. Yeah. I didn't win. God damn it, Dave. I'll punch you in the face.
Now he's yet another person who's beaten you to a Golden Demon.
He hasn't beaten me. Well, he's beaten me to a Golden Demon.
To a Golden
but
Demon.
Yeah, he hasn't beaten me at a Golden Demon, though.
You didn't
we don't compete
in
the same categories, no.
Oh. Well, he's like...
He did Chaos Large.
Okay.
I know about Chaos. 40K Large.
40K Large.
Yeah. Yeah, the... he...
What did he do, an Orky vehicle?
No, he didn't. He did something really cool, though. And I can't remember what it is for the life of me.
Yeah,
I saw
we'll
it.
We'll see. Like I said, we'll see it in 6 months when they upload it.
I want to say it was a dreadnought. If I'm not 100% positive, I think it was like yes, it was. It was a Forge World dreadnought. It was a Space Marine dreadnought, and it was really cool looking, like really nicely done. I was impressed by it.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the stuff that wins, I'm usually impressed by. You know, I was talking with Tim, and like I really liked the Slayer Sword, the high in the Wood Elf.
I could not figure out why that model won a Slayer Sword.
I was having issues with that too, and I really think it had to do with the blending that was done on the model. And I don't think camera work really catches blending well.
I mean,
sometimes it does.
The model looked nice, but there was nothing on it that made me go like, "Wow!" It was just kind of like it's skin. The entire miniature was skin.
Well. You also have to look at, like, we'll look at all the golds, and when you see all the
exactly.
golds...
Yeah, I'll have to see what it was competing against.
And then you look at what's best in show out of the golds, and then you're like, oh, well, that's the reason why.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was a pretty good conversion.
Oh, it was a great conversion out of the Lilith Hesperex.
Yeah, so there's a lot of work done on it, but that's not supposed to count.
Oh,
but I'm pretty sure that counts 100% of the time.
What, the conversion work?
Conversion work and basing and sculpting. Yeah, because, I mean, the last model that won... The Slayer Sword last year was not a stock model.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even a model. It was sculpted by hand. It was all just sculpted and bits.
Like they were, it was bits and green stuff.
Yeah, so it's
and that's the thing. I think a lot of people are, if you're trying to win demons and you're not and you're using stock models, you're not going to
win. Yeah,
you have to do sculpting. You have to do converting. It's just not a. It's they say it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be a painting competition, but I believe every single This is a blanket statement, but I'm pretty sure every Slayer Sword winning model for the last five, maybe more years, have been sculpted.
Yeah, but I mean,
heavily converted.
I would say even longer than that. I can't tell you.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I mean, it's been a really long time since I've seen any
stock
model win a Slayer Sword.
Yeah,
and I mean, I've seen stock models place, like silver or bronze. but I've never seen them win the shebang, like, ever.
I've seen them go all the way up to gold. I've seen stock models do that well. And that's part of my problem. Like, I'm not a good sculptor. I'm a terrible sculptor. I'm good at, like, basic green stuff work and shit like that, but I cannot sculpt worth a damn. Like, I can do tentacles.
I can also do tentacles. And I can do pustules. You know, I can just sculpt a plague bearer.
Yeah.
Every year, I can sculpt a different plague bearer. And
then eventually, after 20 years, you'll have a unit.
I'll have a regiment. I'll be like, yeah, look, my regiment of plague bearers. It's only 20 years.
And then some guy who's, like, a younger version of you goes, you can't play with only 20 plague bearers in 12th edition fantasy.
And I'll be like, I don't play fantasy.
Oh, God. I was looking at all the new demon stuff. I bought the white dwarf with all the new demon stuff in it. And I went through it, and I was actually more impressed with the 40k stuff for demons as opposed to the fantasy.
But you can use the soul grinder in fantasy now.
Oh my god, the soul grinder! The worst idea
ever. It doesn't
even
fucking matter. The demon army in fantasy is still the best army in the game. And yeah, they're... Oh yeah. No, not even a question. They are still the best army in the game. Demons are by far the best army in fantasy. Like,
you do your corn army, you just wind it up and push it across the
table. It's not as big of a divide as it was before, because they used to be just leagues ahead of everyone. Yeah. Now they're just maybe a few meters ahead.
But in the White Dwarf, they had a beautiful Chaos army, and a Chaos Demon army for fantasy, and a beautiful one for 40k, showing off all new models. But I was looking at that, I'm like, oh, it's a 3,000 point fantasy army. This is pretty big. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, this doesn't look like it'd be 3,000 points. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, wait, they have a unit of 50 corn, you know, whatever, the deep blood letters. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, 50 fucking blood letters.
Yeah, that's what fucking point. You put gigantic units of blood letters on the table.
Ugh.
It's fantasy now, dude.
I know.
Like, fantasy is about putting out huge models of fucking mess.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's just a sloppy game.
I was actually, I'm putting together the 40k demon contingent, like 500 points, and me and you have been going back and forth on that, and I was looking at him like, oh, yeah, 500 points. 500 points for 40k for me is literally 19 models.
Yeah, I was like, 500 points is not a good size.
I went and looked at it, I'm like, that can't be right. This is 500 points?
Yeah.
This is awesome! I'm going to have this painted next weekend!
Plus, they'll combine with your icons, so you can deep strike them with within 6 of your icon bearer for your... As long as the icon bearers remain the same in the 6th edition codex.
Who knows what's going to go on with that?
Nobody has
any idea. But actually, I've been going over the 6th
edition... There's a lot of speculation
about the new cast. Actually, it's going to probably be Dark Angels next.
No, Chaos is first. That's for sure. Chaos is next.
Yeah?
Yeah. Chaos is the next book. They're going to be the first Codex. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. Yeah. They might even be out by the end of this month.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. Sources are tracking end of this month, beginning of September.
Sources are tracking. Okay. So anyway, that's about it for my Chaos excursion right there.
Welcome to Game Classy.
Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me as always is Steve.
Yay!
Yay!
We kind of sound like Muppets.
Okay. I'm looking through my emails because I wanted to read a really good one. Where the fuck is it? Where the hell?
Oh, you got a fancy, fan mail?
I got some fancy fan mail, and I wanted to read it on the podcast, if I can find it. I got it right after the last podcast, and I'm looking here, and it's just like, what the hell is this? Oh, this fucking, I was looking at Craigslist at some Warhammer stuff, and the guy, like, he was like, I want $130 for this lot, and it was literally all of the old 6th edition box set just mushed up into a big bucket. I'm just like, I'm not paying that for that.
That's pretty bad.
And he wanted $30 for the 6th edition rulebook for fantasy.
What? No.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. That's not going to happen ever in the history of the world. I don't know. No, not a chance. I mean, if you're looking for some old ones, if there's a half-price book anywhere near you, you can go find old 40K and fantasy books, codexes and shit. If you're if you're interested in playing older editions, which in most cases are better.
Yeah.
For fantasy, not really for 40K. 40K's got it. Every edition of 40K has had some sort of critical flaw, and this one is definitely allies for this edition.
You still think it's the allies for the...
Okay, here's the thing with the allies, and this is why it's the critical flaw, is the power combos that are going to come out of allies. There's already the Plague Bearers.
And yeah, the Epidemius list.
Epidemius with Grots. There's already that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the first one. There's going to be so many more, and probably even more degenerate ones as time goes on. And that's the flaw of this edition. Last edition, the flaw was ball-crunchingly brutal vehicles. This one made vehicles more palatable, but now you have allies, which are going to just punch everyone in the dick. And then allies are going to swiftly be banned at tournaments. It's just, that's how it's... They'll probably just ban it, because it's a very easy rule to ban. You just be like, you can't bring allies. Allies aren't allowed. You know, it's not like... You couldn't exactly ban vehicles. You could be like, no vehicles are allowed. And you're like, I don't think we'll be playing in your event. But if you ban allies, you've got...
Yeah.
You know, or even put, like, a limiter. Like...
25%.
A point limit, or... I wouldn't do 25%, because then the Epidemius list still fits.
What?
Dude, Grots are dirt cheap. They're nothing. You're like... I think it's, like, maybe 120 points for all the Grots you need. But the... A limiter and, like, ignore the allies chart. And be like, Chaos Space Marines may have demons.
Yeah.
Imperial Guard. Imperial Guard may have demons. Chaos Space Marines. You just regular Space Marines.
Space Marines.
Space Marines. For right, Emperor.
I got it. I got it right here. Okay.
Oh.
So this is from Bill. I won't say his last name. Obviously, for
podcasting. Is it Bill Belichick?
It's Bill Belichick. No.
Bill Belichick. What does Bill Belichick have to say?
Okay. So he goes, hi, just listened to the latest podcast and wanted to say thanks for the shout-out to us East Coast listeners. I think I was actually making fun of East Coast listeners.
No, it was the Norway guy you were making fun of.
Oh, the Norwegian guy who downloads their podcast like 8,000 times. It's a bot, is really what it is. Yeah. No, but the East Coast, I think I just said, like, hi to the East Coast guys. So on the East Coast, hey, we're on the Midwest. You guys are on the East Coast. Yay! I listen to your podcast on the way home from work. I drive an hour to an hour and a half home each from work. In the heat without AC. So, like most of us.
Hey, I also drive with no heat.
Yeah.
Or, wait, AC.
With no AC. Yeah. In the heat.
Heat would kill me. Yeah. I would just die.
Needless to say, it gets to the point where I'm almost passing out. Your podcast has saved my life. Which is, I guess, okay. I mean, someone saved your life tonight. I think we should play that.
Someone saved your life tonight, sugar bear.
I have listened to every podcast since number 6, which is the oldest one I could find on iTunes. Well, that's because the older ones are under Planet Arbitrary. I never transfer them over because I was just like, fuck it, that's too much work.
For yeah, you gotta get the first 5.
Yeah.
You see the beginning of the story.
The genesis, if you will. I have to say I was...
And now I think we're about at our apotheosis.
The apotheosis. Yeah, I have to say I was intrigued about this week's topic, bathing. I don't really think that was a topic. I just think we just...
It was the first rule.
You know what, though?
It was the first rule.
I just gotta say it all, man.
It's set the tone.
You know, that should just be the topic of every Game Classic podcast. Just,
bathing.
Just wash.
I took myself a pretty sweet shower today.
Like, what you should say is, at the end of every podcast, you say, and until next week, take a fucking shower.
maybe that's the tagline.
I always thought that was something only snooty European people did. I will have to give it a try. I wonder if, like, European games days are better smelling.
Hmm.
Or are gaming events.
I don't know.
Like, not the French ones, obviously. Maybe the English ones are a little better smelling.
Maybe. I mean, I think day-to-day activity in France, you don't bathe. But I think if it's a special occasion...
Oh, we are going to the French Games Day. Except in France, we just call it Games Day.
We call it Free Golden Demons. Because they're French, and they absolutely fucking destroy you and anybody else in bathing.
The French are so fucking good. Literally, to me, it goes French, Spanish, German, English... American, Australian, Atlanta.
Atlanta. And there's pretty big gaps between all of those.
Yeah. Atlanta Games Day is brutal.
Because it's still so hot.
Atlanta Games Day was my favorite Games Day to go to because the convention center was fucking beautiful and it was air conditioned and you never had a problem and it was just overall nice convention. Not as good as Indianapolis. Indianapolis is still best convention center I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got...
I've been to a fuck ton of convention centers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I'll say Indianapolis has probably got it hands down.
Do you have an army list built up on how much soap and shampoo I can use? I don't want to push it right away, so maybe a small 500-point starter list.
500 points of shampoo and soap? I would say you need to get the... you got to get the loofah.
You know what? The loofah in the new edition uses hull points as opposed to how it used to
be. So maybe a natural sponge instead of the loofah.
Yeah, sponges are better because they're open top.
Yeah, and then you get, I would say, a Bath and Body Works body oil.
Body oil.
Brings the cocoa butter. No, the body wash.
It's like VO5.
The Bath and Body Works, Bath and Body Works body wash, yeah. And then probably Head and Shoulders or any shampoo plus conditioner, because you really want the versatility in your shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
Because you're only bringing 500 points, so you want to bring the things that can do the most.
Remember back in the day, this is kind of appropriate, the deodorant hover tank.
Yes.
For the Eldar hover,
yes, deodorant hover tank with the bits glued on it.
Were they trying to tell us something?
Maybe they were. I mean, perhaps they were.
Even though we have nothing in common, I am a bearded fat guy. Well, then we're 100% in common.
Yeah, clearly.
Don't wear glass, but I don't wear glasses. Well, fuck you.
Obviously he's now our mortal enemy.
I still collect and paint miniatures and still play board games and RPGs. I'm glad you don't focus on one topic. I like hearing about new games and new minis. Well, that's what we try to do. Do you know a site that keeps track of Kickstarter miniature projects? Yes, we do. It's called the Game Classy Facebook page.
Pretty much. I am always dumping out Kickstarters.
We just look. I mean, you look on Kickstarter a lot and Indiegogo. Yeah. I tend to look at it. I get it, most of it from Tabletop Gaming News or Tabletop Fix.
Yeah, I actually spend a good portion of every day on Kickstarter just looking if there's any new projects and whatnot.
I generally like the mini stuff and some of the RPG stuff they do on there. However, I see like board games and card games on there that just look terrible.
Some actually look really good.
I haven't seen...
Sedition Wars looks amazing.
Yeah, Sedition Wars is just minis.
It is a board game.
Yeah.
Super Dungeon Explorer is a board game.
Yeah, well...
It's just like Sedition Wars is a board. You cannot play that game without the board.
Yeah.
You have to follow the rules. Yes, it uses miniatures, but so does Descent. Saying Descent isn't a board game.
It's a minigame, motherfucker.
So Descent's a minigame?
No, Sedition Wars... No, Descent... Well, Descent's kind of like a minigame. It works like...
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they're board games that use miniatures. Yeah, like, I'm sure there's going to be people who... I would be willing to put money down with the amount of people who invested in Sedition Wars. There are going to be people who don't paint it.
Yeah.
There are going to be people who put it together and they... Because the plastic's color-coded, if I remember correctly. Like, the good guys are white and the bad guys are a different color, like black or blue or something, or maybe green.
Why is it going to be like that? That's racist.
That's what it, you know, it's done like that. And Super Dungeon Explorer's the same way. You do not have to paint those miniatures because the heroes are kind of like a pale ivory, and the bad guys are red.
As we all know, Don Delanois doesn't paint his figures.
But he's, you know, he's always rocking Delanois gray and Bendis silver. It would be really hard to tell the factions apart if you played a board game. So, I mean, I would say it is still a board game. Yes, it has a very heavy miniatures component.
You know what board game drives me crazy?
Settlers of Catan, because it sucks.
I love Settlers of Catan. You don't know board games.
Settlers of Catan,
you have no taste whatsoever,
no,
sir.
No, Settlers is awful.
Yeah, it's the most popular game in the world.
And it's shit. It's shit. Exactly. Just the most popular things are generally shit.
See? I told you you're the one guy's an opinion.
No, it's just bad. Like, just because it's popular doesn't make it good.
But it's a
doesn't
good game. I play it all the time. I love it.
But it's a bad game. It's not fun. It's
boring
as shit.
You just don't like it because you can't kill people.
You just roll two dice and see what happens. Like, oh, I got the robber. What a fun time. Fucked it. Knocked it in the toilet. Why don't you play something remotely okay? Like, Monopoly is better than Settlers of Catan.
Monopoly, at the end of Monopoly, everyone has the same opinion. Why the fuck did we decide to play Monopoly? Settlers, and I think Settlers, I've never seen my group of friends have more fun. And my group of friends are not gamers. They're not, you know...
That's what I'm saying. It's the most popular game, but it's not the most popular among gamers.
Oh, no. It's not the most popular amongst gamers.
Yeah,
I mean,
for the average person who's not going to be listening to this podcast...
Yeah.
Most of them may have an opinion. Maybe they like Settlers. Maybe they don't. Maybe they never played Settlers.
Yeah, but I mean, like, amongst the gamer population, it's pretty weird, because you'll go with, like gamers, and, like, it depends on what kind of gamer you are. I mean, you know, if you're a board gamer, like, their most popular thing right now is, I don't remember what...
I mean, perfect example of popular and non-popular, and why being most popular isn't necessarily makes good. What do you like better, Warhammer or Warhammer 40K?
Warhammer, but only because I haven't really played 40K. I'm just getting into it again.
But still, like, you have always been a fantasy guy, never really a 40K guy. Correct?
Yeah.
But 40K is more popular by fantasy, but by a insane margin.
You know what, though? I'm not a good example for that. I mean, you have to figure something.
I'm not saying that you are a good or bad example. I'm just saying that there's two games that you both have played You've played both of these games. One is vastly more popular.
But I was always...
But does it make it superior?
But I'm a fantasy guy. I'm not a sci-fi guy.
That doesn't matter. It's simply a statement of, like, just because it's more popular does not mean it is superior.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, right now, according to 6th and 8th edition, the more I've been reading a 6, I think it's a more superior game than fantasy.
Currently, I actually will completely agree with that statement. The 6th edition of 40K is... in my opinion, definitively better than 8th edition fantasy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, some board gamers might like a game like... what's popular right now? Actually, like...
Descent is super popular, especially with the new 2nd edition just came out. Descent, Talisman... I mean, I would play Descent, Talisman, Blood Bowl, the card game, very... Like, there's a bunch of board games I play that are just, like, I would play them over Settlers any day of the week.
You can go to Board Game Geek and look at, like, their top 10
The reason Settlers is so popular, it's very simple. It's super fucking easy to play. You can teach that game to anyone in 10 minutes tops. Yeah. Two, there is a huge luck component, which people like when they're learning new games or if they're bad at games, because you can win even if you suck.
Yeah.
Because you're just... You luck your
way. But I kind of like that.
I absolutely cannot stand luck. I go for low luck, high skill gameplay. High luck, low skill gameplay. That shit is awful.
I see. I would disagree. I think the element of luck is pretty fun, especially for me when playing with people who
having the element of luck is fine. It's the percentage. You know, I like games that are like.
I mean, I'm not gonna. If I'm playing with, if I'm like, we're going to a game group after this. If I'm going to a game group, I'm not gonna want to play a game with luck with those guys. I want to play a game that evolves around skill. Because I want to beat those motherfuckers.
So, are you going to play War Machine in Hordes?
Exactly. But if I'm like playing with my group of non-gaming friends, who I like to call the norms,
the normies,
I like games that have a lot of luck because that way I don't have assholes. Like my group of friends can be assholes about games too, where they're just like I'm going to use this strategy and just bulldoze my way through. Like no, it's like I like to keep it light. We like to drink when we play. You know,
I mean, because if I was a pure skill, like if I wanted 100% pure skill in my games, I would play nothing but chess.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I could only play chess.
There's no luck involved in chess.
There's absolutely none. It's impossible to get lucky in chess.
Well, I mean, you're always going to have an element of luck, especially when you have a game that involves dice rolling.
Yeah, it's just you can modify. You know, War Machine and Hordes, you roll two dice, add that to a number. You can modify by adding dice or reducing dice. With some special rules and abilities, but two dice, that bell curve is...
Yeah.
You can be very statistical and be like, this is...
Well, that's what I was on Reddit, and I was on the board game page on Reddit, and they had a guy who's like, you know, just for everybody's sake, here's the percentages for rolling on Catan. I'm like... Do we need this post? It's only two dice.
Downvote.
Yeah, pretty much what I was like the downvoting Joaquin Phoenix from.
Oh, nice. I use a bunch of Tyrion gifs. There's where he's got like there's one where he leaves the hooker the gold coin.
Yeah.
It's the upvote.
Yeah.
And then there's one where he like I think he slaps Joffrey and a big arrow comes out of his face from the downvote.
Yeah. And I was just like because I was like I'm like really did we have to put this up here like. The percentages of
he's a competitive Catan player.
Yeah,
and there's a Catan tournament, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
And as I say, I really like the game just because of its simplicity and its easiness to play. As I said, I would never play you at Catan unless it was just simply like we're all sitting around a table BSing. You know, there's other games that we play that involve a little more luck. I mean. For example, Puerto Rico is all about skill.
Puerto Rico!
Yeah, that game.
And I mean, I like Puerto Rico, and there's no combat in Puerto Rico.
No, there's not.
But I like that game.
Yeah, but you like enslaving people.
Well, I mean, I also like the ability to, like, shut people down and, like, completely remove their ability to play the game.
That's true.
That's always fun.
Okay, so just finishing up this email. Anyway, if you guys are looking for more topics, I really enjoy you discuss older out-of-print RPGs like West End Star Wars. We already did that. Or Ghostbusters. We already did that one.
You know what? I think those were... I'm not 100%, but I think both those were episode 5. I think those were episode 5.
Remember Toon or Amber Diceless. I don't know what either of those
are. Amber Diceless is very interesting.
Is that like it's, Dragon Dice?
I don't think it's out of print.
Remember when they tried to make that a thing?
Dragon Dice was actually quite a good game. The problems with Dragon Dice were the way you differentiated between your troops were size of dice. And that would have worked if all of the dice were flat colors, but the dice were all these crazy speckled, like very difficult to read. The game was fun, but it had a lot of issues. That really needed to be fixed. But it was a TSR game, and all their games were, you know,
they all have issues.
But no, Amber Diceless is a storytelling style game where GM has GM and players all have points, essentially. This is the easiest explanation. Everybody has points. If you want to do something, you bid points to do it.
Oh, okay.
And then the GM can try and bid points to, you know, fuck you over.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then, so it's like a group, I don't think there's no dice rolling whatsoever.
Well, I think that's why it's called Amber Diceless.
Well, sometimes, I've seen a few games that were quote-unquote diceless, but there's, like, they sneak some die rolls in there. Amber, literally nothing.
Yeah.
No dice rolls whatsoever.
Yeah, and older... Oh,
the problem I had with Amber is there was, like, a lot of times, like, if you had a shitty DM, he would just be able to fiat you on everything. He'd be like, DM fiat, your character dies. Raped to death by... Oh, wait, I can't use dice. Fuck. Skeletons. He's raped to death by skeletons with big cocks.
Excuse me, sir, how does a skeleton have a cock? I mean, just by the definition of a skeleton, I mean, the penis isn't a bone. Fiat, your guy's dead.
Yeah, your guy's also raped to death by skeletons.
worst DM ever. Everything just gets raped by skeletons.
Or the best. If he was Christopher Walken. Like, Christopher Walken told me that.
What he's gonna do is...
Y'all been raped by skeletons, and I put this watch up my ass.
All right. So, your characters are going into a spooky house. What's your character gonna do? Never mind. Raped by skeletons.
I'm gonna throw it out there, and I'm gonna say that both of our Christopher Walken's impressions are fucking awful.
Oh, they're terrible.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
Ow! I can't believe you'd say such a thing.
Hello there, little man.
Hello.
Boy, I've sure heard a lot about you.
Put this watch up my ass.
Anyway, and then last thing, I hope I win the two-player War Machine starter. Are you guys going to come to Baltimore to teach me how to play? I responded in an email form saying, no, I watched The Wire. You will never get me to go to Baltimore, ever.
I've never seen The Wire.
Yeah, but it's Baltimore. Baltimore's, like, fucking insanely scary.
Yeah. Are there, like, monsters?
Yeah, yes. I believe there's a Kraken that comes out of the sea once a month to just ravage Baltimore.
That sounds like it might be sweet. Let's go check it out.
Cthulhu rises from
maybe,
the
you know what, maybe we can, if he wins, maybe we can organize like a Skype session where we teach him how to play War Machine.
Well, that'd be
Skype.
Interesting because I have no fucking clue how to play War Machine. Like, you've taught me literally three times to play War Machine and I cannot remember where the damn. I'm just like,
So where am I to spell dice?
Uh-huh.
Do I have to spell dice yet? No.
No, no,
no. There's no there's no bad magic mechanics in this game.
Oh, okay. So, we're in the shooting phase, right? No, stop it.
There's no phases like that.
God damn it, Joe. But my guys are painted really pretty, right? Yes, yes, they're painted pretty.
They're pastel, and I like that.
God,
I like the pastel Menoth. It looks really good on him.
No, the pastel Menoth. Yeah. I brought my Kador today.
Are the Kator also pastel?
No, they're red.
Okay.
They're fucking Kator.
No, I don't remember seeing your Kator. I saw your Menoth.
Oh, they're not really that good. They were my first experiments with airbrush about 6 years ago.
Okay.
So they're really bad. But besides that point. Anyway, that was that guy's email, and I just wanted to point that out there. It was a very long email, but thank you. If anybody would also like to email us...
Thank you, Bill Belichick.
You gave us, like, at least, like, a half hour's worth of talking material, so that was fine. Got another half hour to kill.
Bill Belichick.
So you can email us... You can go to the game class, and you can email Planet Arbitrary, of course, at the Planet Arbitrary site, or you could actually email me directly at gameclassy1@gmail.com.
Or you can post on our Facebook page.
You can post on our Facebook page if you like it. Not everybody has Facebook. I was told this.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, you should like our Facebook page. You get a chance to win, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, I don't have Facebook.
We'll make a dummy fucking Facebook account and like our page.
Some people don't like it. Facebook, man.
You don't have to make an actual... Like, just because you're making a Facebook doesn't mean you have to use your name... your picture or any actual information.
You could get access to all those great Facebook games like Farmville.
Yeah.
Or anything by Zynga.
I was about to say some good Facebook games, and then you mentioned those, and I've been shut down.
There is no good Facebook games.
There are a few, but they're not actually Facebook games. They're cross-platform. Like, there's a new CCG coming out called Soulforge from the guys who made the deck-building game Ascension, and that, I believe, is going to be a cross-platform. You're going to be able to play it on your iPhone, PC, on their website directly, or on Facebook, or on Android.
What do we call deck-building games? They were just gaming masturbation.
Yeah, someone called deck... No, it was a post on our...
it was a post on Facebook.
Post on our Facebook wall. Someone said deck-building games are gaming masturbation. And, I mean, considering you can play most deck-building games by yourself, they kind of are.
That's got to be the saddest thing in the world.
I actually really like games that you can play by yourself, not because I'm like, well, I'm going to play this sweet game alone, but because it's a great teaching tool, because you can play, learn it. You could play a few games, learn all the fucking rules, and then when you teach someone how to play, when they go like, well, what happens if you flip this guy up? And people are like, oh, I remember, because I had to flip that guy up during my game when I played by myself, and I had no idea what the fuck to do, so I looked it up. So I have an answer for you right away.
Yeah, I prefer learning from someone and then asking inane questions while I'm learning.
So they can move six, right? Yes, they can move six. So how far can those guys move? God damn it.
Well, this one was, I was at the bunker, I was talking with Kyle, who just liked our Facebook page, and I'm like, wait, how fast can chariots move in 40K? I have no frame of reference for this. Wait, chariots can move in 40K? There are chariots in 40K? What?
There's two now. There's the...
Three.
There's three? What's the third one?
There's the three three slashy ones.
Oh, there. That's one.
Oh, okay.
That's
one.
Like, yeah, there are two, but that's one. It's the same model kit, and it's trash. And then there's the Necron... The douche canoe.
The
douche canoe. It's not the douche chariot.
Oh, okay. It's a chariot. Okay. Yeah, you know, someone else told me that, because I think I had to ask that question. I go, where the fuck is there an orc chariot? What? Yeah.
That's the chariot, and then the demon ones, which I hate that model with a fiery passion.
Oh, I think it looks so cool. Bad.
I was just glad to find that I was on various forums. I was just glad to find that in the discussion, you know, the thread that pops up on every workshop forum of the new minis. I was just glad to find that I am not alone hating those models.
Oh, you're not alone in just being a hater.
No,
of course there's going to be guys that hate
this. The screamers. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, the Screamers.
The Playbearers, I hate the paint job that they have on the website.
I hate the paint job on every one of those figures, every one of those new demons.
The Screamers look fine.
The Screamers are fine. They're not anything great. But I've learned to look past standard heavy metal paint jobs.
The paint job on the Playbearers that's on the website is so bad, it actually made me miss things about the models. And I was just like, ugh, those look terrible. And then I saw a different paint job.
One guy that's pulling out the
yeah, little and, like, the dude who's holding a flute.
Yeah.
I thought that was just something retarded sticking out of his face. I was like, this thing's why is there this weird triple thing sticking out of his head?
There's a weird trend in heavy metal painting for, like, a really, like, flat color.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're just this flat yellow piss color. And I was like,
ew.
It looks terrible. And then I saw a different promo picture of them painted, and they look good. And I was like, Oh, I see. I was completely fooled by the paint job.
They had them on display at Games Day.
The chariots, I do not like the sculpts. I don't like the giant whips. I don't like the fact that it's on the biggest base in 40K and still hangs off the base by like an inch on each side.
That's the Exalted. That's the one that's
atrocious. Yeah. Unforgivable. Like, oh my god. You have the biggest base in wargaming and you can't fit the model on it. What the fuck?
My problem with that is that it's like, why... Someone had obviously in
the studio... There's everything that's supposed to be pulling the chariot is also being ridden by a demon. I was like, this is the stupidest thing ever. There is shit going on top of shit going on top of shit going on. That is the busiest fucking model ever.
I will never buy one because I have plenty of stuff at home that already have Slaaneshi chariots already built for my...
Did you use Dark Elf chariots?
Well, yeah, because I had... Because
they're great for Slaaneshi chariots?
Because I had built it back when they did Storm of Chaos
and all of the pictures and the conversion kits they sold for the Slaaneshi chariots were the Dark Elf chariots with demonettes in it.
Years and years ago.
And I actually saw a dude who did Zinch chariots, best Zinch chariots I've ever seen, using the Tomb King chariots. When what he did is he literally chopped off everything except for the what the fuck do you call the seat in a chariot?
I think it's just that's just the chariot.
That's the chariot. Yeah. Okay, so except for the chariot itself, took all the wheels off, and then he left the yoke, and did fire coming out from the bottom of it. Put it on a flight stand. Had the screamers being pulling the yoke. Looked super simple conversion, done clean, looked awesome. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I got, and these are fucking dirt cheap compared to anything else.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this, right. The Tomb King Chariot's great.
So I did want to talk about Indiegogo. Drax Skull's Menace, still going on. Go give money, because the models they've been putting out for it, they put out...
Dude, they're awesome.
Oh my god, the Ghost Caller. Have you seen that figure? Yeah,
they're all awesome.
It's an orc, and he's got ghost orcs flying above him.
Yeah.
That's fucking phenomenal. Yeah, and they're only at 3,000.
They need 5K, right?
They need 5K, so 2,000 more. They have
what? 22 days remaining?
They only have 2 weeks right now. 2 weeks
really?
Remaining. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, that's the Reaper one's a lot higher than that.
Oh yeah, the Reaper one's at like 30,000 already.
That the Reaper one's probably at this point, he's probably past 200K.
Probably. It's really cool.
That Kickstarter's insane.
Yeah, but I keep pushing it. Go to this Drax Skull's Menace. It's got such cool stuff, and
the problem is, I know. We think they're cool, because, like, the undead plus orcs is cool. But, I mean, I know there are people who hate orcs.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, orcs are stupid. So they will never touch an orc model. Even though those are very cool orc models, they're just like...
Oh, God. I had that when I was...
And the orcs' rules are really bad. So even if you're more of a competitive player, like, you're just going to be like, fuck that, orcs are shit.
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Even if you don't like fucking orcs, you could play them as vampire counts.
That's what I would suggest.
Which are a much better army. And even if you don't like orcs or vampire counts for fantasy, and you're like, fuck fantasy, I don't want to play that. You're like, Steve, use them for Kings of War. Use them as Kings of War orcs.
That would be awesome. That would be an awesome-ass Kings of War orc army. And then you could also use them for other things, too. Like, just if you're doing, like, a D&D, like a horror-themed D&D campaign, getting some of the smaller choices, which gets you, like, a few undead goblins, a few undead orcs, maybe one of the trolls,
would
be great D&D models. Throw them on a round base, done.
Well, one of the things that I think is kind of hurting their Kickstarter thing, Indiegogo thing, is that there are actually, nowadays, there are only two regimented fantasy games in the market. There's only two, which I found... Well, I shouldn't say there are only two. There are only two companies that are putting out models and putting out a rule set. Two active games. There are a lot of other mini games. I still say one of the best ones is go find it. Go find Hordes of the Things. One of
that rule set, I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it. It's I know you could get it on Board Game Geek.
Yeah, an actual Hordes of the Things page with the rules and FAQ or whatever. It's just I couldn't find it at all.
I'll put it up on the Facebook page. So you guys can find it. I mean, because it's free to download, because the guy who designed it had a falling out with the other two guys who found it. So they're like, fuck this! And so instead of, selling it to one or the other, they just put it up on the internet for free.
Good call.
It's a really cool system. The rule book itself is no longer available, but it's all available in PDF form. Yeah. I enjoy the hell out of it. It's really fun, and you could use any...
Oh, I got the Kings of War Kickstarter stuff.
I know, you told me.
Dude, that hardcover book, amazing.
You got the hardcover book, right?
Yeah.
Did you get all the models?
I got everything except for the new stuff. The stuff that's not sculpted yet. And then I've got another rulebook coming that's going to have my name in it.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to say, Steve, thanks for the shout-out, son, your podcast.
Why are the British guys sound like they're from Chicago?
They probably are.
Originally from Chicago. Good day, mate. Wait a minute.
This ain't right on any level. That was really cool. And, that was one thing I'm going to say it on every podcast until I guess this would be the last one because they're going to be out of days by the time the next podcast comes around.
Most likely.
But just fucking go and give them money because $200 gives you a shit ton of models. And if they reach, I think it's another $500, they're going to release the giant carrying the dude on the throne. And amazing. I want to see that so bad.
Yeah, it looks really good.
So do that. And also, I'm frustrated because there's not a lot of good news because a lot of people are holding off for Gen Con.
I think most of the news right now is just Kickstarters, the Kickstarter talk. Like, the Reaper Kickstarter, mark my words, by the time the Reaper Kickstarter is done, it will have been the number one miniature starter. I think it has the possibility of beating Sedition Wars.
And
the products they're releasing, incredible.
I look at it and I'm just like... like me personally, and I understand why like D&D players would love the fuck out of this.
Yeah, insane, like the best.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and I'm just kind of like, this is kind of cool. But I mean, they're offering a ton of shit too.
The thing is, they're the Dark Heaven Legends line. So the Dark Heaven Legends line are
miniatures. By the way, they're at 211,000.
Fucking shit, 211,000, and there's how many days left?
20.
Yeah, 20 days left to go. Super insane-o. Maybe it won't beat Sedition Wars. We'll have to see. Because their stretch goals, their rewards, crazy good. And it is the Dark... Like, Bones is all Dark Heaven Legends line. Now, the Dark Heaven Legends are bigger on average than standard 28 mils. They don't... They come with an integrated base. They don't have, you know, circle bases or square bases. The bases of the miniatures are on the model. The models are generally one piece or a few pieces, or they'll have no base if they're big, like some of their bigger giants or things like that, but they'll just be big enough to stand on their own.
Wow. I'm actually looking at their 100 level. You're getting, like, fucking, like, 70 figures for $100.
Yeah.
And you get, like, that dungeon attack set, which is, like...
and they keep adding more to the $100 pledge level.
Like, undead hordes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And... you get their Sophie figure on motorcycle, which I always think is the worst piece of cheesecake on the planet. Or you get
the naked Sophie on motorcycle.
What?
Yeah. And she'll probably have a snatch. Because the last naked one was basically, for all intents and purposes, just splaying her vag out. And I was just like, that's pretty offensive.
Do I really need that in my miniature form? Like, who... It's the same guys who buy anime statues of naked girls. That it's just... It kind of boggles my mind.
I mean, some nudity on figures... in some cases, I don't mind. I'm like...
in context, it's fine.
Yeah,
in context, if you're playing... like, if you got some barbarians, and you got a barbarian chick, and she's got her boobies hanging out, and
Or dude's dong is flopping around.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm actually more okay with the dong flopping out than, like, a big badge. Because like, it's like... I'm like, that's not even battle appropriate.
So for a lot of times, they're not great for wargaming. Because most of them don't fit out. But, like, a few of them would. Like, the giant rats, those would be easy.
You're talking for the Kickstarter, not the Vag models.
No, not the Vag models. Okay. I'm done talking about the giant models. Giant rats for the Reaper stuff, those are on integrated 20mm bases that look like cobblestone.
Yeah, I see them.
Period. Like, those would be fine for Skaven. You could throw them in your Skaven army. Some of the bigger guys, they could work as unit filler. Like, they have a big-ass burly orc champion. You could throw him on a 40mm base, easy, put him in an orc army, and you've got a giant-ass orc running around with your troops. Whatever. Whatever you'd want to do with them for wargaming, there's ways to use them for anything.
Yeah, of course.
But they're for D&D, like, if you are a D&D player, and you use miniatures, or you want to use miniatures, and you have not done it yet, get in on this Kickstarter, because you're going to get the most value, probably in the history of miniatures, role-playing miniatures. Like, it's insane. The Bones product is excellent. You don't need to prime it. You pull it right out of its package. You can fucking paint on it immediately.
I like how they keep adding shit to there, and so they're actually at the point where they're just like, we're throwing in Battletech models.
Oh, the CAV guys? Yeah. They're Battletech?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the CAV game, but I know some people are.
We need to do a segment on Battletech one day. Just where I could go...
FASA Battletech?
Just so I could go, Steve, Battletech. Why?
I think we just did. I think that was a segment of Battletech.
Why do people still play with those god-awful figures? Actually, the rule set's pretty good from what I've seen. It's just, like, the most awful models I've ever seen.
The rule set's really hanky.
It's not bad. Let's put it that way.
It's not great.
There's never a rule set that's perfect, in my opinion, but it's...
I don't think there's a perfect rule set anywhere, but I think there are great rule sets.
Yeah, Battletech is not a great rule set by far.
I think Battletech is a great... I'll say this. Battletech, for a campaign, like, you are playing a campaign, fine. It's good.
Uses the hex bases, and it's got, you know, uses hex maps.
Hit locations, so, like, you can shoot a dude's right leg, blow the right leg off, make their mech fall over, or, you know.
Yeah, it's a really...
I think for a lineup in battle, atrocious.
Atrocious. Oh, yeah. I'll give you that. It's got a lot of Grognard feel to it.
Yeah, and you can custom build your mech. Like, I'm bringing the Super Heavy with nothing but PPCs and LRMs. Oh, yeah.
It's like, boop, boop. And yet the model has, like, a big smiley face on it.
The Hatchet Man. Catalyst is doing some of their new plastics for thing, and the mechs look better. And the thing that's funny is, like, you can see the mech design ranges so vastly between, like, that mech looks cool to that mech looks like a huge turd.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Like the Mad Cat is the Mad Cat's cool.
Oh yeah,
the Mad Cat's a cool mech. The Vulture, and then the Mad Cat's the iconic mech warrior BattleTech mech.
The Vulture,
which is funny because it's not even an Inner Circle mech. It's fucking Clan mech. And like the Clan mechs are, they're all supposed to be the bad guys.
You guys, you're just saying words right now. Steve,
my gaming knowledge is absolute.
Steve, BattleTech.
What?
Clans.
What? I like Clan Ghost Bear. They got the Kodiak.
The Clan Ghost Bear.
I saw Ghost Bear Army painted like the Packers. It was the best thing I'd ever seen.
I always think, whenever I think of BattleTech, I always think of the old cartoon. Remember BattleTech?
Oh, the Fox Kids cartoon?
Where it's
remember
that. That's they're fighting the Jade Scorpion.
I always think of that, and then I'm like, man, that show sucked. And then I think about Exo Squad, and I'm like, yeah, Exo Squad was awesome.
Exo Squad was fucking
Steiner.
Badass.
Yeah.
We're going to fly around Olympus Mons on Mars and shoot missiles at each other.
Fucking awesome.
I remember back
against
in
the Super Sapiens.
Or the Neo Sapiens.
Neo Sapiens. That's right. And they had the one Neo Sapien helping them out, and he had the sweetest mech because it was a two-person mech.
You know what I loved about BattleTech, though? BattleTech, to me, was... that was World War II, man. That was fucking, like, on the ground, Americans are fighting back, you know, gradually pushing back the Neo-Sapien army. Very much.
Exo Squad, you mean.
Sorry.
You said BattleTech.
BattleTech. Okay.
And you started that allegory. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No. The Exo Squad was like, it was fucking World War II, man. It was just fucking, it was epic in scale. Like, two seasons of just fucking badass.
Yes, and JT Marsh was a fucking awesome commander. That was a sweet fucking show.
And if you watch it in joint with, Robotech.
Get in the planet?
Oh. No. Robotech is fucking the naval war in the Pacific. It's a great fucking, like, two-part watch.
It's actually pretty good. So you get the European Theater of Exo Squad and the Pacific
theater of Robotech.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, fucking watch that. I haven't watched
Oh, speaking of that, there's actually some big news. Palladium, who've been producing the Robotech game for a super long time.
Robotech.
You know, a lot of people knock Palladium for a lot of reasons. Like, they have an old rule set. Like, they will not update their rules. Their rules are just labyrinthine and huge at this point. But, I mean, I'm a fan of, like, hanky, like, shitty rule sets that are old.
Hanky shitty rules.
I'm a fan. But Robotech, that the rule set Palladium has for Robotech is fucking phenomenal.
Is it?
And well, the thing is, a lot of the stuff that came out, the problem with Palladium is they want integration. They want you to be able to take your Palladium fantasy book, bring that character, bring him into Rifts, take him into Rifts, do whatever you want in Rifts, then take that character out of Rifts into BattleTech, or into Robotech, and then take him out of there and put him in Ninjas and Super Spies. They want you to do everything.
We should do a podcast just dedicated to big robot games.
Yeah.
Robotech, BattleTech.
Ogre.
Yeah. Ogre doesn't have big robots, it's just got big tanks.
A lot of the best rules that they innovated when they made the Robotech rule set, later kind of got wrecked when they brought them into the other games. If you just play Robotech, amazing. Super good. And the big news for them is they got miniatures.
Oh, do they?
They are now going to be producing a full line of Robotech.
Do I get my sweet-ass jet with legs?
Yeah.
Did you ever have that toy as a kid?
The Veritech Fighter could do... The Veritech Fighter toy could do jet with legs, robot, or jet.
Oh, jet with legs always made me laugh, though, because I'm like, why would a jet need legs?
Wouldn't you watch the show?
Like, yeah, I did, but I always said, even when I watched the show, going, why would a jet need legs?
I mean, they did all the time, because it was a quick transfer. I don't know. I thought having the three modes was cool. I thought it made sense.
Three modes!
Yeah. I liked it. So, I mean, really excited to see that, see those miniatures. Really excited to see the new edition of that game.
I've always liked Heavy Gear, like the Heavy Gear minis.
Oh, they're very cool.
I always thought they were cool. I've just, like, whenever I've looked at it, I've always been like, I should really get into Heavy Gear. And then I go...
Nobody plays Heavy Gear.
Then I go, Steve, Heavy Gear.
Why? Your CAV is kind of the same way from Reaper. Like, CAV's like, I think some of their minis are cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, the only Reaper rule set I read was Warlord. And if that's what I'm going to go by, I'm not going to be picking up CAV.
Big robot games is a very... It's not a niche market, but it's a very segmented... Like, that's like the three types of gamers you have. You have war gamers and fantasy war gamers, which includes sci-fi.
Then
you
sci-fi have fantasy war gamers.
Then you have historical war gamers. And then you have big robot war gamers.
The big robots.
The big robots.
Robots.
The robusto robots. And it's kind of like... I get historical gamers because it's not big transition from the sci-fi fantasy, but the robot gamers, it's big robots.
You know, I mean, I kind of see the appeal because a lot of the games that involve the big robots, they have like the very in-depth, like your dude's arms blown off.
Yeah, they have very, very, like when you talk about games that get slowed down by like minute details.
Yeah, I watched someone play a minimum-sized game of Battletech and take 3 hours.
Yeah.
To play the smallest point level or whatever.
Two mechs fighting each other.
It was one group of elementals, one big mech on each side.
Okay, so your guy's gonna walk forward. All right, take an overheat test.
Overheated shit.
Oh wait, you gotta stay there and wait for a cooldown.
Yeah, that's
all right. Roll for the other leg.
the super poopy stains.
Yeah,
but I mean, some people might find that appealing, and I'm not going to fault them for that.
Also,
I will only fault people for finding appeal in Settlers of Catan.
All right, we're running low on time. I also want to talk about Bane Legions.
There was something I wanted to talk about too, and I fucking forgot.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's go to Bane Legions.
Fucking Bane Legions out of nowhere,
and Bane Beast. Not out of nowhere. They've been around forever.
I know, but I mean, out of nowhere with the coolest fucking model I've ever seen. That Beast Man on a fucking like crazy pig goat.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's fucking amazing.
Did you not see them before? All their minis are amazing.
He just came out today.
Yeah, but all their minis are amazing.
All their minis have been amazing. And it's kind of rekindled my love of the Bane Lords. I think actually this year at Gen Con, I'm going to go track them down because they run with the Cool Mini crowd. I think Cool Mini sells a lot of their stuff.
Cool Mini sells them around here.
Yeah.
Because they're UK guys. But they have a big Talos for the Bane Beasts, and Joe's going to be getting him for his Abyssal Dwarf army. Because the Abyssal Dwarfs have a giant Obsidian Golem choice.
Ooh.
I'm going to use Talos for it because he looks fucking boss.
Yes.
And their prices are quite good.
They're not bad. I mean, the Bane Beasts are...
Well, the Bane Beasts are all huge.
They're gigantic.
They're very big. They're half the cost of a Forge World equivalent,
yeah.
I would say.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Half the cost of a Forge World equivalent. So, yeah, some of them are like 75 bones.
Ooh, speaking of Abyssal Dwarves and Forge World, how fucking pissed am I that those fucking Bull Centaurs are on the gigantic monstrous cav bases?
Those models are ass.
Oh, no. I think they're beautiful and they work great with that army. I just, like, in comparison, it's like, I'm going to have to put like 4 guys on one of those bases just to match. Just to make it look wild.
Their rules are not nearly good enough to be on that size base.
Oh, no. I completely agree. They're nowhere near... Like, when I thought they were going to be on 40s...
I thought they were going to be on cav bases, because they've always been on fucking cav bases.
I thought they were going to be on 40s.
Because they were traditionally the Chaos Dwarf cav. Like, that was their cav. They were half, you know, half beast, half man, or
they're
half
gigantic!
Dwarf. Yeah, they're so huge. They're so stupid.
Yeah, I hate those
models.
Point cost and the rules, they're a little fucking big.
They make no sense in the background, because the background is they're a fucking amalgamation of a beast and a Chaos Dwarf. Why is a Chaos Dwarf suddenly, like, quadrupled his mass attached to some... Like, that makes no sense. Like,
If I had a Chaos Dwarf army, I'd be so psyched just to paint those, because I would love to paint those. I have a Chaos Dwarf army.
I would use them... If I were going to use them in a Chaos Dwarf army, they would be strictly limited to one as unit filler in my General's unit.
Oh, yeah. That could work, too. I love the models. I think that the rules are kind of hanky
for that
size.
I think Forge World's also now falling into the out-of-control Games Workshop mindset, because all the new Games Workshop stuff's just over the top, completely out of control, like... This is just ridiculous. You know, all their model kits, they used to sell model kits where it was like 48 pieces, and you're like, 48 pieces? That's pretty big. Now that I saw my buddy put together the Dread Knight, I mean, it was not super new, but the Dread Knight Grey Knight choice, things like fucking like 184 parts.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a fucking... It's a dreadnought. Why is it 184
cool
fucking parts? I was like, oh, it's a power loader. I was like, it's a power loader. That's pretty cool. I know everyone made fun of it, but I'm just like, it's a fucking power loader. What's everyone freaking out
of her,
about?
You, bitch.
Yeah, get away from you, bitch. And like, and Forge World now seems to be falling into like, let's make our models totally over the top, like insane.
I disagree. I think their stuff is fine. I don't think it's any. I think the bull set.
But you are like you have a huge hard on for Forge World though.
Oh, I love Forge.
Yeah, you love Forge World. You're not gonna like say you don't like it because you love it.
I like Forge World because it's It makes me feel good for the money I'm spending that it's a little quality stuff.
You like to spend way too much money?
I don't spend way too much money. Actually, I was just working on my Helltalon for my
gas. Overcosted models. You just want to buy... I'm Joe. I don't want to buy an overcosted model. I want to buy a way overcosted model.
I want to look at my figure.
If the Forge World models came perfectly assembled, gap-filled, completely cleaned, pre-primed, your choice of white or black, they would be worth the price. They would be worth that price.
I don't think any mini figure is actually ever worth its actual price, regardless of the fact.
Except, when I say worth, it's relative. I'm saying, as a wargamer, I would be willing to buy those miniatures if they were pre-assembled, pre-cleaned, pre-primed, at the price
band. As a hobbyist who enjoys assembly and putting stuff together and things like that, I
fucking hate assembling models.
Well, yeah, that's why I have you on the podcast. You are the rule gamer. I'm the guy who finds the zen in painting and assembling.
I like painting.
Yeah.
But I do not like... I love painting. I hate assembling.
I don't mind assembling. I like assembling, actually.
I don't mind...
I hate cleaning mold lines, but I love
assembling.
That's what
I'm talking about. I'm talking cleaning mold lines is included when assembling.
Cleaning mold lines to Delanois standards.
nobody cleans to Delanois standards except for Delanois.
Yeah, that's why it's called Delanois standard. Steve, mold lights.
Why?
I think the name of this podcast is going to be Battletech... .. Why?
Joe. Delanois.
Why? All right, so we're gonna end it there.
Bendis.
What?
Bendis.
Why do you hate Bendis so much?
I don't hate Bendis. Delanois just loves Bendis.
I think he's a great... He's a pretty good writer. I haven't read any of his stuff recently.
Marvel blows.
You haven't read a Marvel comic in how long?
Actually, I read Punisher Max. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, Punisher... Well, was that Garth Ennis?
Yeah.
Who did that? Yeah.
Well, the first 60 issues of Punisher Max.
Yeah.
And then anything past that I haven't read because I was like, Ennis isn't doing it anymore. Fuck that!
Yeah. All right,
I'm a DC fanboy. Wait, you are also a DC fanboy.
I'm just a comic book fanboy. I like comics in general.
But you prefer DC, if I remember correctly.
I did... For a very long time. There was a period in about the mid-2000s where I started going more Marvel with a lot of stuff. And then they did some crazy shit. And then I'm like, no, I'm not going to read this anymore. And then I just stopped reading comics.
Yeah, you don't read comics anymore. But I'm saying
I do read comics. I read mostly Dark Horse and stuff like that.
Dark Horse? You like the aliens?
No. I read anything by Mike Mignola. And I like reading...
B.P.R.D. Hellboy and stuff.
Yeah, BPRD Hellboy, and I also really like classic reprints of Conan. It's a sad time in Conan's life.
When the oceans drank Atlantis. So, I also, The Shadows of Asterion Kickstarter just finished. Getting my stuff there. I'm picking it up at Gen Con.
What?
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. We'll be able to meet those guys and pick up their shit at Gen Con.
Actually, you know, next podcast we could record live at Gen Con.
Yeah, that's where we're going to be.
Yeah,
and then maybe we can get Ronnie on the podcast from Mantic. That
would
be sweet.
That would be sweet. We could... You know, actually, I've interviewed him before for Planet Arbitrary.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of...
I don't know if it was Ronnie, but it was one of the guys.
Yeah, it's kind of boss.
I remember,
I did give him half... I did give him quite a bit of money for this Kickstarter. Yeah. I'd like to talk to him.
When I talked to him, I was... It was the first time I ever talked with the guys from Mantic. It was when they just released the Elven Sprue.
Oh, just.
It was the first year they were at Gen Con. And I was like, oh, what's this? And they're like, oh, it's our elves. You like Warhammer? I'm like, I like Warhammer. And they're like, do you like elves? I'm like, no.
Elves are gay.
Toughness three blows.
Toughness three armies are not for me.
And he was... Well, I didn't say that. He was...
I know.
He was just like, well, we're doing this. It's supposed to be like not a replacement for Games Workshop, but it's for supplementing so you could build bigger units at a cheaper price. And I'm like, I like the cut of your jib, sir.
Yes.
I hope
please tell me
this
more.
I hope you keep this up.
40 high elven miniatures from Games Workshop, $150. 40 high elven miniatures from Mantic Games, $40.
Well, that's honest to God the truth. I mean, well, fuck it. For the armies that they put out the stuff, they do it right in the armies they put their stuff out for. I mean, because fuck the high elves for fantasy.
They're so bad.
I'm doing that list.
I hate their dresses.
I'm doing that
list. Yeah, that's the problem. The 10, it's going to be all high elves.
Well, I've had to...
You should go by system. Top 10 for 40K, top 10 for fantasy.
No, because there's not actually a ton for 40K that need to be done.
I guess the Dark Eldar being completely reduxed may fix them up real quick. And I guess most of the... most of the stuff... Actually, you're right, because most of the stuff that needs to be redone for 40K is metal that needs to be plastic.
That needs to be plastic.
Like, there needs to be a plastic... Like, I've never really played a Sisters of Battle Army. I had one list that I played at one tournament, and it was pretty good back in the day. But I've never been a huge Sisters of Battle fan. I like the concept. I think it's cool. But why don't you just treat them as a real army? Why don't you give them a real release with fucking plastic miniatures?
Yeah.
You know, why give them this... Why stick it in everybody's craw about it? And like, hey, have your shitty White Dwarf army for your not real force.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be that fucking hard. You give them a sister's plastic kit.
You know
kit,
why?
Already, vehicles you already done.
GW hates putting out plastic female figures.
Matt Ward also hates Sisters of Battle.
Well,
and he's currently the GW Golden Boy. So because he hates Sisters of Battle so much, he's like, fuck him. Give him a White Dwarf book.
Twisting his mustache.
Spiritual Liege.
Reboot Gilliam.
Gulliman.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, I think I found five kits in all four, 40K. I didn't count the Chaos stuff, because I know Chaos is getting redone. A lot of the stuff is getting redone. So I didn't want to put anything on for Chaos until I knew what exactly they were going to be done with. But, I mean, it's mostly, like, Tau battle suits need to get redone, because they're stupid.
The Possessed are pretty bad for Chaos.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No Chaos stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And so there was the Space Marine bike, which is not a terrible kit.
No, I really don't see why that kit needs to be redone.
It's the...
They made the plastic attack bikes.
It's the torso with the head attached to it. It's a shitty fucking thing. It could be redone and look a lot better.
I suppose.
Yeah, but whatever. That doesn't.
That's really.
I'm not. This is stuff that's not on my list. This is shit that I know it's in 40K.
That's really nitpicky. Like when I'm saying like it needs to be redone, it has to be something that's like can't be like a workable model, because like the Space Marine bikes are fine.
Well, I mean, I looked at it in terms of three things. One was age, how it fit the army, and necessity. Like a model that you don't really need in your army doesn't need to get redone because it's not really necessary for it to get redone. But like. The Falcon chassis for the Eldar needs to fucking get redone. Because not only is that model a bitch to put together, but the pilot is second edition.
I put together a bunch of Falcons. I've never really had too much trouble with them, but I'm also a big proponent of gluing everything solid.
Yeah.
I glue the canopy over the cockpit, because just paint the
canopy. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's A, one of the oldest 40K kits there is.
Other than Lemon Russ.
The Lemon Russ.
Lemon Russ!
Lemon Russ tanks! And it's the same problem with the Falcon, with the Viper, and with the Jet Bike. They all have terrible fucking heads on there.
Yeah.
And then what's GW said? Oh, you could just replace it with the Eldar torsos from the plastic bike. No! Fuck you!
I love those shitty fucking Guardian Jet Bikes. There's like, the guys look like they're pooping.
Oh, God.
They're riding bananas.
Oh, my God. It drives me fucking insane that. And anyway, that's 40K. So there's not a lot in 40K. Most of it's fantasy. And then Lord of the Rings. Fuck Lord of the Rings. All right, so I'm gonna put this on pause right now, and then we'll get the dice roll going. Well, I can say this before we do the dice roll, since Steve's going there. You can go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me at Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. Since we're doing the roll today, we're gonna actually end up doing another contest, probably. I don't know, maybe if we get some free swag from Gen Con or something, we'll put that up there. We might do that or something else. Hey, Steve! Oh, wait, he walked out of the room, so I can say this. Steve fucking hates anything that's popular. It's the root. Hey, Steve, what's up?
That's I like 40K. I have a 40K army. It's the most popular miniatures game there is. What now?
What? So anyway, I was just saying we could raffle off something, maybe like a Gen Con ticket for next year. What do you think?
That'd be pretty boss.
That would be pretty boss. Because that way, if we fold the podcast before then, and we're not we don't have to give it to them.
Dan and I like War Machine Hordes. They're also popular.
Yeah.
So suck it, Joe.
Yeah, but War Machine Horde suffers from a little bit like number two syndrome, where it's like whenever you're number two, you're always like number one's gay. Number two is way better.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a miniatures game. If you can get to number two, that might as well be number one.
Yeah.
Because you're never touching 40K.
No,
it's
never.
Not possible.
All right.
So you might as well just ignore that fact. Number two counts as number one.
All right. So I'm going to put this on pause until we bring up the list, and then we're going to roll.
All right, so we're actually going to do the big roll right now. Starting from the bottom. This might take a while. Once we roll, we'll do the number, and then we'll look at the list and see what number that person is. This is going on the order of when you signed on. This is not alphabetical.
So number one is me.
So we're
skipping that.
Yeah, and then like...
in the order you've liked. And then there will be a few skips.
Yeah, like for me, probably Nikki...
Most likely.
Yeah, because I don't think I don't think your girlfriend winning the fucking two-player bout.
That would not work.
Winner was my girlfriend! Yay!
But yeah, we're not discluding most of our friends and stuff like that. Well,
give me.
There's a few. Listen. All right.
That's the ball.
That's the sound of a Zocahedron.
Is that what it's called? Zocahedron. You could
do it in there. You could do it in the dice tray. Gotta get down there so you can hear it.
All right, so we're rolling it now. This is tense, people. This is tense.
Give it a good roll. Come on.
I was thinking about. Oh.
It's rolled.
What do we got?
What do we roll?
Number
90. No.
Is that 16 or 91?
That is
16.
You know what? No, that's a cocked die. Reroll it.
It's
cocked. Oh, what?
It's cocked. Reroll.
I cocked it.
I like. All right, so we're gonna roll here. And then Nikki is rolling the dice. She is ineligible. And we got a 28.
28.
28, looking at the list. I'm going to pause it really quick. All right, who's our winner?
Lee Langston.
All right, Lee Langston of...
In South Dakota.
All right, so... We'll tell you what, guys. If we don't get in contact with Lee in the appropriate amount of time, we'll just re-roll again. He looks like he's way into gaming.
Yep, and he also looks like he's active on Facebook.
Not a dummy account.
Not okay. A bot.
All right. So sorry to anybody out there who has not who was excited to win and did not win. But Lee Langston, if you are listening to this. Congratulations.
And FYI, even if you were like 107, you still had a shot because we ended up excluding about 7 people for personal friends and stuff.
Yeah, so there you go. Sorry, Jim, but no, I did not exclude you from the role. you didn't win. he's just a guy that I know.
The bits?
No, not Bitzer.
Those Bitzer totally could have won.
Bitzer just disappeared off the face of the planet. Anyway,
I think he's in the Seattle Underground now.
So, Steve, until next time.
I mean, which one are we doing?
Do the normal one.
I can't remember. There was one. Take a fucking shower.
So, until next time, take a fucking shower.